I too would like to say good morning. Greetings to each one in the name of Christ. It's good to be here this morning. Those the thoughts of that psalm that you shared there, Brother Kenny, stood out to me as well, that opening verse. It's a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and sing praises to thy name, O Most High. I trust that's why we're here this morning. We really want to bring praise to God by our presence here. I did appreciate that Sunday school discussion. Very, very good discussion. Very practical to each one of us, and the challenge to each one to, am I, you know, personally committed to following God? My message today comes from a psalm as well. Psalm chapter 85, if you can turn there. I was reading through this psalm a while back, and there's a verse that stood out to me, and I decided to share a message here with you this morning from this verse. And that verse is verse 8. I'll read it at this time. Psalm 85, verse 8. I will hear what God the Lord will speak. For he will speak peace unto his people and to his saints. But let them not turn again to folly. Specifically, the first part of this verse is what I want to focus on. That's also what I would take from a message titled this morning. I will hear what God the Lord will speak. It's a very simple verse, isn't it? Very simple phrase. There's no big words. It's fairly easy to understand, I believe. It's a verse even the children can say. I believe the preschool class had it for their verse a little while back, if I remember right. It's one of those very simple verses, but yet I believe there's much included. There's much we can gather. It's a simple and yet profound verse. And I'd like to start here this morning by maybe dissecting this verse a little bit, breaking it apart, looking at it a little closer, and endeavor to study it more. And then I'll have some questions that come to my mind as I think of this verse, questions that I bring up and try to find Bible answers for them. And those questions are, I have written down as follows. What are some ways God would speak? How does God speak? And what are some things that God would tell us through his voice? And then finally, what are some hindrances to God being heard by us, or some hindrances to us hearing God? So I'd like to look at some of the words, first of all, here in this short statement. I will hear what God the Lord will speak. And the first word I see is I. It says, I will hear. It doesn't say, we will hear. It says, I. I believe the psalm writer was making this statement in a personal way. I will hear. And I couldn't help but notice in some of the verses just previous, he was using plural pronouns to cease. Verse 5, wilt thou be angry with us? Verse 6, revive us again. Verse 7, show us thy mercy, O Lord. Grant us thy salvation. Then there in verse 8, makes it personal. I will hear. I will hear. I believe he's saying God is going to speak, and I will be. I want to be listening to what he has to say. And I believe the psalm writer has this written like this for for myself and for each one of us as we read this, to make it personal, to have it be our desire to personally want to hear what God will speak. And I want to challenge myself and each one of us to do that. Put my name in here. Make it personal to me. The next words here, we'll hear, I will hear. I believe the implication is these words, wanting to hear, willing to hear. Did you ever observe folks, and hopefully not adults, that it seems they hear certain things. They hear things they want to hear. Maybe sometimes we call that selective hearing, maybe sarcastically. And we see that in our children sometimes, don't we? You might tell them, pick up the toys, clean up the trash, something like that, some job that's not all that enjoyable. And it seems that they don't hear you. You have to speak up. You have to say it more than once. And then if you say, well, something like candy or ice cream, it seems like they come running, they hear you in the next room without any problem. And I think it's referred to, I think Paul refers to something similar in 2 Timothy 4, where he says, I believe he says that in the last days there's going to be those that don't want to hear sound doctrine. He says they'll have itching ears. In simple language, I believe he's saying they want to hear what sounds good. They want to hear what suits their fancy. And he goes on to say in the following verse that says they'll turn their ears away from the truth and will be turned to fables. Is that the kind of hearing we're talking about this morning? I don't believe it is. I will hear what God the Lord will speak. It's a wanting to hear God's word. It's a willingness to hear. It's something that I desire. I want to hear what God has for me. I believe the Amplified Bible says it. I will hear with expectant hope what God the Lord will say. There's a desire here to hear what God will say. And furthermore, I believe it's speaking of a desire to understand what God will speak. And not just understand, but to allow what God speaks, to allow God's voice to make an impact on my life, to make an impact in my heart, make a change in my life. Verse 6 here, he says, "Wilt thou not revive us again?" And I believe Jesus referred many times in the Gospels to those that would hear his words and not obey. And then also those that would hear and obey and put his words into practice. And he illustrated that by the story there in Matthew 7. We know it well. The story of the wise man and the foolish man that each built a house. The wise man building on a good foundation, the foolish man on a poor foundation. I will hear what God the Lord will speak. So we're talking about one who's serious about hearing God's voice, aren't we? Who's looking for God to speak, wanting to hear God's word, and is serious about God's word impacting his life. Let's look at the last part of that phrase. It says, God the Lord will speak. God will speak, it says. That sounds like a pretty sure thing. You know, sometimes, as people, we say, I will do this or that. And we make those plans. We say, this is what's going to happen. Well, those plans are all subject to change, aren't they? God can allow things to happen that just bring those plans crashing down very quickly. And we've seen some of that in the past few months, haven't we? Our plans aren't a very sure thing until they actually happen. But you know, friends, when God's word says God will, that's a pretty sure guarantee, isn't it? It's more of a guarantee than any earthly guarantee that I know of this morning. It's a sure thing. And we want to look here shortly at how God speaks. But God will speak. And he is speaking to people, to mankind, to those who will put their faith, put their trust in him. And I don't believe this morning it's a question of, is the Lord God speaking to you and I? But it's rather a question of, are you and I hearing? Are we open to hear what God will speak? One more here that stood out to me as I was dissecting and picking apart words here. You know, it doesn't simply say, I will hear what God will speak. It says, I will hear what God, the Lord, will speak. It adds that phrase, the Lord. I believe that adds something to the verse. It seems to me that phrase, God the Lord, adds extra emphasis to the fact that God is supreme. He's the creator, and he's the one who has supreme power and authority and control. I will hear what God the Lord will speak. I believe this psalm writer is making it personal. He's giving God the position of absolute lordship, kingship, and authority in his life. And I think as each of us desire to make this real in our lives, that we can do the same as well. I will hear what God the Lord will speak. Now, what are some ways that God speaks? How does he speak to us? How does he speak to people today? There's quite a list of ways, isn't there? And for the first one, maybe I'll have you turn to Hebrews 1. I'd like to read the first two verses here. So I'll read verse 1 of chapter 1 and the first part of verse 2. Hebrews 1, verse 1, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. God has spoken to us by his Son, the Son Jesus Christ. And we have those words right here today, don't we? Right here they're written for us in the Bible. They're the words of eternal life, it says in one verse. I believe that means that they'll never wear out. The words that we have written here, they're never out of date. They're right here, real today in year 2020. God speaks to us through his Son, through his Word. And I believe we have many verses that would support that. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light to my path. And we have many verses that would exhort us to hear the Word of God, and also verses that challenge us to do God's Word. God speaks through his Word. I believe God also speaks to us as people through other people. You know, in our Sunday school lessons the past couple of Sundays, we've been looking at different kings in Israel and Judah, and on different occasions, God would send a prophet or a seer to that king with a message, and sometimes with encouragement. Keep doing right, and continue to do right. And sometimes it was a rebuke that you've done wrong, and I'm gonna abandon you, as you have me. And some of those kings, you know, they learned from that and made a change. And then some chose to reject it and get angry and so forth. And I believe that God still uses similar means today, doesn't he? Sometimes he uses a fellow Christian to show me where I need to do better. I believe sometimes he even uses an ungodly person. Something they say or speak to us to jolt us to reality and show us a place we really need to improve as a Christian. I believe God can use anyone. God speaks to us through other people. I believe God also speaks to us through His Spirit, through His Holy Spirit dwelling within. And we have verses like John 16, verse 13, I'll read that, that tell us this. It says, "Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth. For He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come." Also another verse, Matthew 10, I believe it's verses 19 and 20. It's Jesus talking. He says, "But when they deliver you up," talking about persecution, I believe, "when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what you shall speak, for it shall be given you in that same hour what you shall speak. For it is not ye that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you." God speaks through His Holy Spirit within. I believe God also speaks to us through our conscience. And as I thought of this, I thought of the verses in Acts chapter 2. After, you know, the apostles had received the Holy Spirit there, and they were speaking in tongues and so forth, some unusual things happening, and a crowd gathered to see what was going on. And Peter launched forth into preaching a message. And there was a crowd listening, and it says in verse 37 there, "When they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said, 'Men and brethren, what shall we do?'" Well, what was going on here? Well, their consciences were bothering them, right? They were convicted in their hearts that they had done wrong. God speaks to us through the conscience. And we know what this is like, don't we? Our conscience will tell us at times, "Don't do that. You know that's wrong." Or to remind us, "You know, you did wrong back there. You told a lie. You're going to have to make that right." And it pricks us. It keeps speaking to us. And I believe it's a something God has placed there to be a blessing to us. And God, it's God's voice guiding us. And I don't believe we ever want to disregard that voice. Well, what are some other ways God speaks to us? I believe He speaks to us through nature. And there's many marvelous things throughout all nature, isn't there, that point very clearly to a master creator, a master designer. And as I thought of that Psalm 19, some of those verses came to my mind. We can probably say them by memory. It says there in that first verse, "The heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament showeth His handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge." And then in verse 3, pay attention to this. "There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard." I believe nature itself speaks of an almighty God and Creator. And I don't believe, based on verses we have like this, that theories like evolution are a natural conclusion of a person out there, even a person that doesn't fully understand God. I don't believe it's a natural conclusion, but rather a conclusion of one who is following Satan. "There is no speech or language that their voice isn't heard," it says. And there's so many details we could give in nature. And just one aspect that I thought of is given there in that verse. It says, "The firmament showeth His handiwork." The sky. And you know, just the everyday awesome sunsets that we see all the time. That's just one area. That's just one way that I believe God can speak to us through nature. It just points to a creator, doesn't it? And so maybe there's no end of ways that God can speak to us. I believe he uses many means. I believe God speaks to us through the disruptions to what we call normal life. Maybe it's through an accident. Maybe it's through a death of someone we know closely. Maybe it's through an illness or a health problem. Maybe it's through natural disaster like storm, flood, fire. Maybe it's through a perceived pandemic like this coronavirus. Maybe it's through unrest in the government. Maybe it's through violence in society. You know, I believe any one of these things or all of these things God can use to speak to us. And so I believe it's clear to us that God, the Lord, speaks and will speak. Now, what are some things that he would speak? What are some things that he would tell us? And this is another one I don't believe we can fully cover this morning either. And some we maybe already referred to, but the first one I have is that as God speaks to us through his Son, Jesus Christ, and through his Word, that we know that we are made, that we realize that we're fallen, sinful creatures and unworthy of God's mercy and forgiveness. That's what he tells us through his Word. And we also see through his Word of his plan of salvation that's offered to us. Through the shed blood of Jesus Christ, and he wants to receive each one of us, you and I, as sons and daughters of his. That's another thing he tells us. What are some other things God would tell us? Maybe through his Word, we see some area. I see some area in my life that I need to let God clean up. Maybe there's some pride that needs rooted out. Maybe there's some self that needs to go. God speaks through his Word. Maybe the Lord tells us through his Spirit that you need to reach out to that person, that neighbor. You need to go talk with him. You need to share the gospel message with him. Maybe the Lord tells me through my conscience, you need to go back there and make right where you did wrong there. And maybe God speaks to us, like I referred to, through nature and wants to impress upon us what a great creator, what an awesome God he really is. Or maybe it's through those disruptions to our normal life that he speaks. Maybe through things like that, he would say, son, daughter, do you love me more than all these things that you have? Will you trust me even if I take these things away? And you put it in there. Health, money, loved one, things. I believe he wants to give us peace as well. It said that, didn't it, there in the latter part of verse 8. He will speak peace unto his people and to his saints. I believe we looked at that. We covered that well Wednesday evening, didn't we? It's a peace. He would give us a peace that he would speak to us, a peace that is not dependent on our outside circumstances, what we're facing, but it's rather a peace that's within. These are just a few things I have written that God might try to tell us as he speaks to us. Are we listening to God's voice? Finally, what are some things that might hinder God speaking to me, or rather that would hinder me from hearing what God has to say to me. And as I thought about this, you know, there are many as well. The other day, I stopped by a equipment dealer, and I had a part that was damaged, and we had a question on it. We wanted to ask the mechanics there that were more experienced whether or not this was something we could still use or whether it was beyond repair. And I had gone in, and one of the mechanics came out there and was talking with me, looking at this, talking with me at my truck there. And there's an intersection close by, and a pickup took off and left, and I think there was somewhere he wanted to be a little while ago because he was really going and making a lot of noise, and I couldn't hear what the other fellow was saying. He had to stop talking. Well, that's maybe a pretty poor illustration of how things can interrupt and how we can't hear what God might say. And I believe that was a very minor consequence, but I believe it's a much greater consequence if we allow something to prevent us from hearing God's voice. So what are some things that might hinder me from hearing God's voice? The first one I have, I need a willingness to hear if God will speak to me. God can't speak, I believe, if I refuse to hear. If I'm stopping my ears to His voice. If I'm refusing to hear His Spirit. Or rejecting His messenger that came to me. Not heeding my conscience as it speaks. You know, God doesn't force His plan on us. He doesn't force us to do what He wants. It's a choice. He speaks. We need to listen. Another one I have is neglecting to read His Word. Friends, this morning, this book is God's Word to us right here. It's the words of life that we need for salvation, to find God's direction in our everyday life. And I believe it's one of the main ways, one of the most important ways that God would speak to us today. Don't neglect it. It's how He speaks to our daily needs and feeds us spiritually. Another one, as I thought of this, what prevents us from hearing God's voice? I thought of the parable Jesus gave in Mark 4 of the sower. And it says there, in, I believe it's verses 18 and 19, that it says, "These are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things, entering in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful." I think we see here some things that would prevent us from hearing God's voice as we should. And I think some of these are very real for us as Christians in 2020. The cares of this world. Being so busy. Do we give God time to speak? Do we give God quiet time? Do we turn down the music or whatever else it is that's making the noise long enough to allow God to speak to us? The lust of other things entering in. Desiring the forbidden. I believe Nelson covered that well last Sunday. Do we allow God to speak as we meditate on His Word? Many other things we could pull out of there. And these are just a few that I thought of as being hindrances to us hearing God's voice. And maybe I should end on a more positive note, but hopefully as we look at this verse here this morning, you were inspired and encouraged to allow God to speak to you. And it's my desire that God would bless each one of us as we allow Him to speak to us through His Word. And hopefully each of us can, in a personal way, say, I will hear what God the Lord will speak. Let's kneel for prayer.